and think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus and all he's done for me, then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. Sometimes it seems I dare not go one step farther on, and from my heart all courage has slipped away and gone. But I remember Jesus and all his love for me. Then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. Oh, what a friend is Jesus, sure anchor for my soul. So tender, true, and gracious, I'm safe in his control. My help in time of danger, my strong defense is he. O thou blessed Rock of Ages, hide thou me. O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me.
Amen. Very good. Thank you, man. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think that it is important for our church, as we do observe the Lord's table tonight, to talk about our time at the Lord's table. And that's what I want to speak to you tonight about. The Lord Jesus left the church with two things. Now, we understand that he left us with ordinances, but he left us with two things. First, he left us with doctrine. Now, doctrine is very important because doctrine is what we believe and what we teach. Now, by the way, where does our doctrine come from? It comes from the Word of God. God's Word gives us our doctrine. But also, the Lord left us with ordinances. And I spoke this morning briefly about the two ordinances. One is baptism. Baptism is for the child of God. Baptism is not a requirement to go to heaven, but it is the first step of obedience for the child of God. But then the second ordinance is the Lord's table, what we will partake of tonight. Now, please understand something, that both of these ordinances speak of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when a person is baptized and they stand in the water and the water crosses their body, that is a symbol of the cross upon which Jesus died. When they go down into the water, that is a symbol or a picture that Christ was buried. And when they come up out of the water, that is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But tonight, as we take of the Lord's table, we will hold the bread in our hand. It's unleavened bread. There is no corruption in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Leaven is always a picture of corruption. So it's unleavened. Therefore, it is a good picture of the body of Jesus Christ, his sinless, spotless body. But tonight, as we hold the cup in our hand, it is grape juice. Now, it is not fermented. And I personally believe that wine or alcohol is fermentation. That is a terrible, in many ways, a blasphemous picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, because there's no sin in His blood. You see, He is perfect, the sinless one. And tonight, there is nothing mysterious about this. There is nothing miraculous that the bread does not change into something, nor does the wine or the grape juice change into anything. This tonight is a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His broken body. So tonight, as we talk about our time at the Lord's table, let us begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We come to verse number 23, and we will read down to verse number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let us begin in verse 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." The word there means many die. The Bible goes on to say in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, there are many things that I want us to look at tonight, and I just want to kind of go through this passage, and I pray that God will help us. By the way, the Bible says, "For as oft as you take it." God does not tell the local church how often we are to partake of the Lord's table. I grew up a Southern Baptist in Tennessee, and there they kind of had the policy that you were to take of the Lord's table every month. I don't have a problem with the church doing that, but I do believe that we need to do it as oft as we do it with reverence, with a sacredness about it, because this is sacred. In fact, in the church of Corinth here in the book of Corinthians, Paul is correcting the church, because Paul is saying, you have turned this into something for your own pleasure. You have turned this into something that it was never meant to be. And is it not true that man often takes the gifts of God and he distorts them? Is it not true that often the human heart perverts what God has instituted? So tonight, what about our time at the Lord's table? Number one, it is a time for delivering the truth. Look back in verse 23. Here, the Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now, very simply put, Paul received this truth from the Lord. And now, as we observe the Lord's table, can I tell you what we are doing? We are delivering the truth. Whoever is here tonight and whoever is watching by live stream, we are delivering a truth that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're also saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen. It is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through the Lord's table. It is not through good deeds. It is through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So we are delivering a truth. In fact, do you know that every time we come to the Lord's table, we are presenting the truth of what God teaches about the only way of salvation. And brethren, every generation must hear this truth.
In fact, we are to pass it down to the next generation. That's what Paul did. Paul received this of the Lord, and he delivered the truth to the church. And now here we are, thousands of years later. Guess what we have? We have received this from the Word of God, and we are delivering the truth. By the way, do you know that every one of us, we have been recipients of God's blessings? We have been recipients of truth. And folks, we should not hold on to that truth. We should deliver that truth. We should pass along that truth, because that is what God has commissioned us to do. So it's a time for delivering the truth. But secondly, it's a time for giving of thanks. Now, I think this is so important. Tonight, as you hold the bread in your hand, we ought to thank God for His body that was bruised and broken for you and me. I don't know about you, but the very thought of seeing my Savior beaten and spit upon, and I mean, the humiliation that our Savior went through, that's what you are to consider tonight and to give thanks. In fact, look what it says in verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Look at the phrase, "which is broken for you." Folks, tonight it is a time for us to give thanks. The Lord Jesus gave thanks as He was about to go to the cross, and He was about to bleed and die for the sins of all mankind. And the Lord's table is a time for us to praise God, to glorify the Lord, to lift Him up tonight. You know, in fact, we get into trouble when church becomes something of where we want the glory. We want to be noticed. We want to be seen. We want people to give us thanks. Folks, church is about us. Let's praise Jesus Christ. Amen. It is not about anybody receiving gratitude or thanks. Now, I believe we should be kind and gracious, but folks, it is all about Jesus Christ. And so often, you know, we must remember that it is a time of giving of thanks. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." Do you understand what Christ is saying there? He went to the cross with joy of saving you and me. Amen. Think of that tonight. There was a joy in the heart of Jesus. Now, I believe that the travail of His soul was real. I believe the agony of His spirit as He suffered separation from His own Father, as God the Father turned His back upon His Son. But there was a joy in His heart that He was doing the will of His Father, and He was purchasing salvation for you and me. Think of that. It is a time to give thanks, folks. In fact, do you remember? Let's go back in our Bibles, and I'll have you turn back to... So hold your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But would you go to Matthew chapter 26? And I want you to see something that I think is important. It is something that we do every time we have the Lord's table. We end it by singing a hymn. You know why we do that? Because that's what Jesus did with His own disciples. Now think of it. Christ, why do we have the Lord's table, what some people may call the Lord's Supper, or some people call it communion? I like to refer to it as the Lord's table. But as they had the first Lord's table, was with Jesus Himself. And Christ served those men. And can you think of it? Jesus knew what was coming before Him. They would leave the upper room and they would travel to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ would pray with great sweat drops of blood. The agony was already beginning as He knew the will of the Father. By the way, you know, Christ often talked about His hour. You remember that in the Word of God? He would often say, "My hour has not come." Jesus knew exactly the hour that He was going to be crucified. He knew it because He's God. He knew it from the very beginning of time. He said, "My hour has not come." But when we come to the Lord's table, He knew His hour had come. But we come to Matthew chapter 26, and I want you to look at verse number 30 and notice what the Bible says here. Now, they have finished the time of the Lord's table, And the Bible says in verse 30, and when they had sung on him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, most Bible commentators believe that this hymn that the Lord Jesus sang with his disciples was none other than Psalm chapter 118. We don't have time to go there tonight. It is a lengthy psalm, but I would encourage you this week to read Psalm 118, because that's the very thing that Jesus sang. By the way, can I just take a little sidestep here and say this? I would have loved to have heard Jesus sing that day. Would that not have been something? And those, the psalms were songs that the Jewish people sang. And I am sure that on that day in the upper room, Jesus sang that hymn like no man had ever sung that hymn, because he knew what was coming. And as we think of our Savior singing, think of it. He is singing. He is rejoicing the joy that was set before him. And as we come to the Lord's table, it is a time to give thanks. Number three, I want you to notice, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, if you would please, not only is it a time of giving thanks and a time for delivering the truth, but look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. It's a time for remembering a perfect sacrifice. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24. And it says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. What is the meaning of the Lord's table? Well, I'll simply tell you. It means the perfect sacrifice has been made to satisfy the just demands of a holy God for our sin debt. Nothing else would satisfy but the shed blood and the death of Jesus Christ for our sin. Brethren, it was the perfect sacrifice. And tonight, as we hold the cup in our hand, and we hold the bread in our hand, we need to remember that it was a perfect sacrifice. Folks, when you and I go through the door of death one day and we arrive in heaven's glory, the only way that we will have gotten to heaven is by perfection. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. You've told us often that you're not perfect, and you're exactly true. But I am not perfect in my flesh, but can I tell you, the day that I got saved at the age of 17, the perfect record of Jesus Christ has been imputed to my life. Amen. Meaning that when God sees me, he knows that I am still struggling in my life, that I still need growth. But what he sees me, he sees the record of his Son has been applied to my life. The record of Jesus Christ, the perfect record of Christ. In fact, brethren, this is why it's such a wonderful thing that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to our account. And folks, when we believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven, then God accepts us into the family of God, and his righteousness is applied to us. That's why the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's why the Bible says that we are righteous in Christ, because his record is applied to us. In fact, brethren, when he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Folks, there was no sin in that body. He offered his body as a perfect sacrifice to God. So it's a time to remember the perfect sacrifice. Number four, it's a time for proclaiming the gospel. Look in verse number 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now the word show there means to proclaim. It means to demonstrate. And you know what we're doing tonight? We're making a proclamation as a church. We're making a proclamation to the kids, to everybody, that we believe that Jesus died on the cross, and we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a proclamation. In fact, folks, the Lord's table speaks. Now, it doesn't speak audibly, And folks, we understand that the elements that we use tonight, these elements do not change into something miraculous as some religions teach, but it's a false teaching. Because as we hold the body, the bread in our hand, it is a symbol of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we hold the cup in our hand, it is a symbol of His precious blood. Number five, the last thing, it is a time for self-examination and purity of life. Now, I want you to notice very closely verse 27. The Bible says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, let me stop and say this. The word unworthily, folks, all of us are unworthy because of our own sin nature. We understand that. This morning, I cannot explain to you, I always feel unworthy to preach the gospel, but when I talk about the death and next week I'm going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but when I talk about the cross, it is something that I struggle with because of the magnitude of what the cross means and what Jesus did for you and me. What an honor it is to even talk about it and to preach about it. But here the Apostle Paul is saying, if you come to this time unworthily, meaning you have unconfessed sin in your life, maybe an unforgiving spirit towards someone, you have something in your heart that you have not dealt with God, then the Bible says that is a dangerous thing to come to this table like that. What was happening in the church at Corinth, people were, man, they were living in sin and they were living in unrighteousness and coming to the Lord's table thinking it was some type of activity. And Paul said, this is why some of you are sick and why some of you have died, because God has chastened you. Let's read on here. Look what it says. It says in verse number, as we look in verse number 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." God says, examine yourself. Open yourself up to the Spirit of God dealing with you, but examine yourself. And if there is sin, confess that and forsake it. And God says, then take of the cup and take of the bread. We read on here, verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And I love what verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Folks, tonight, we need to judge ourselves. In fact, this unworthily has to do with the manner in which the Lord's table was taken. We are to be serious-hearted. We are to be sober-minded, sincere Christians. We should never come to the time of God's Word and not take it seriously. We should never come to the time of the Lord's table and not take it as sacred. Folks, the Lord's table is a time for all of us to say, Lord, I want to be as right with You as humanly possible. I don't want to come with any unconfessed sin. I don't want to come with any anger or bitterness or unforgiving spirit in my heart. God, I want to come right with You. And by the way, can I tell you what the Lord's table also does? It's a purifying work in the church. It purifies us. In fact, you know, if we live in light of the Lord's return, that is a purifying effect. It purifies us because Jesus is coming back. It's kind of like the ideal that if you know someone's coming over to your house, guess what you want to do? You kind of think you may want to clean your house for a change, all right? You know what I'm saying? You kind of think, hey, you know, we need to make things look nice because someone is coming. Or at least let's put it under the bed to hide it, all right, or something. And I'm just joking with you. But folks, can I tell you, if we know Jesus is coming back, that purifies our life. That brings clarity to our life. And the Lord's table is much the same way. Folks, I believe a church will go astray and a Christian will go astray if they are not partaking of the Lord's table, because it is to help us to remember the Lord's death till He come, but it is a purifying effect on our life. Tonight, as we do come to this sacred time, let's let God have His way in our hearts. And I pray that all of us tonight will leave here singing a hymn in joy and rejoicing to the Lord. And next Sunday we come rejoicing in His resurrection. Let's bow our heads.